There we go. Elena Makeda, our Father, our King. Father, we thank you for your word today, Father. We thank you that you are encouraging our hearts, Father. You are strengthening us through your word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. Father, we just thank you that we are victorious in every area of our life, Father. We thank you that the enemy is defeated in Yeshua's name, Father. And we go on victorious in you, in the name of Yeshua. Well, again, we're going, I'm sure every single one of us is going through our own tests of faith. And if you're a believer, guess what? You're going to go through tests your whole life, because the tests are growing periods to help strengthen you. We've been teaching a class on Shabbat morning on the basics of faith, because sometimes we have to return back to the basics. You know, sometimes we get so absorbed in the complicated that we forget that it was simple faith that brought us here in the first place. You know, simple faith and trust. And when I look at the teachings of Yeshua, Yeshua is a very simple teacher. But he brought the point. I mean, his point hit the mark every single time. So I was just praying about today, and I just really felt, I know I need it. You know, when I'm teaching, I teach myself too. I need a faith boost, because right now we're going through tests and trials. You know, right now, you know, the enemy may make you think, oh, well, you know, we failed. We got to move out of here. It's like, no, we don't, because we're walking. We got a plan, and God has a plan for us, and his plan is to move us on. Again, I knew back in August we were going to move, and right now we're trusting him for finances like never before. You know what? But he is faithful. You know, God is faithful. As long as we remain faithful, you know, he will be there to walk and work with us. But we need to know how to stand. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures today, because why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Not by me telling you jokes and funny stories. Not that I have that many funny stories, you know, but, you know, or experiences. Yeah, experiences help, but experiences don't bring faith to your heart. Only the word brings faith to your heart. Okay, so we need to stand in faith. And every time I found this all through my walk, before a promotion comes a test. You know, God's not going to promote you unless you can pass the test. And that test is, can you stand in faith? Can you trust him no matter what things look like? And I found this saying, and it really ministered to me. It's sometimes when things seem like they are falling apart, they may be actually falling into place. Why? Because we're not moved by what we see. God is in control of our lives. He directs our paths. And, you know, what we may think is a failure is God's next step to us, to get us to the next level where he wants us to be. Yes. So we look at, what's the definition? What is faith? Okay, the Hebrew is emunah. It means truth, faithfulness. It is used to describe God's character and his actions. The psalmist often uses this word in their praise of the Lord and his faithfulness. When people are faithful, good comes their way. The word emunah is also used with righteousness to describe the character of a person. Again, we are called to walk by faith. God is not pleased if we are not walking by faith, if we are not trusting him. And like I shared in the class, we see the examples. Again, the Bible says that, you know, the stories of those that went before us are given for our example. You know, what to do and what not to do. You know, God even shows us, okay, the mistakes. The word trust is bata. It's a verb indicating to trust, to be confident. It expresses the feelings of safety and security that is felt when one can rely on someone or something else. It is used to show trust in God, in other people, or in things. In addition, this expression can also relate to the state of being confident, secure, and without fear. So basically, faith is faith in his faithfulness, and trust is knowing that his word is true, and we can rely and we can stand on his word no matter what things look like. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. There's no way around it. The righteous person lives by faith. I want to look at this sheet, and I want to go through, actually I want to be going through these scriptures more than the ones on here. I may skip to some here, but we're going to go, you know, just kind of walk one by one, and I'm going to kind of come out here and walk amongst you. I just feel like walking around. I've been sitting in the chair so long all week. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. The word substance, and if you look up just the English meaning, it means the material by which anything is made. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, hope is what you are believing God for. Hope is what you want to see come to pass in your life. It's the vision that you have that God has given you. It's hope. Okay, that faith gives substance to that hope, and it's evidence of things not seen. Okay, faith has nothing to do with you know, what you see physically or hear or, you know, may feel. It's a spiritual realm. Just as you hear with your ears, you hear with your spiritual ears. Just like you see with your eyes, you see with your spiritual eyes. Okay? We have a vision for this ministry. If we were moved by every time something looked like it was going wrong, you know, we would have shut the door a long time. But no, God says, you know, I've called you. You know, God didn't say when he calls you that it's going to be easy. He says, you know, Shua, so when I return, am I going to find faithfulness? Am I going to find people who are standing on the word, who are believing me, who are covenant faithful people? Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to speak the word to yourself as well when you're home, especially, you know, if you're healing, whatever you're believing God for, you need to speak it forth and hear it. Because why? You're hearing it, and it's getting down into your heart. The Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you know what's in your heart when you're under pressure, because when you're under pressure, that's what's going to come blurting out of your mouth. So it's a good indication, do I have faith in my heart or do I have doubt and unbelief? Am I going to start repeating with the words of what the enemy is saying? Because the enemy is a liar. Just like he told Yeshua, at the beginning in Adam and Eve, did God really say, you know, his mode of operation hasn't changed. He still does the same thing. He whispers in your ear, do you really think you're going to be healed? Do you really think that, you know, that you're going to complete what God's called you to do? Yes, I am, because you're a liar. So just the opposite's true.
Right.
You know, there's a song by, it was called the second chapter of Acts, and it was called The Devil is a Liar. Ha 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 ha. It's like, the devil is a liar. There's no truth in him. Romans 12:3, for I know through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every single person here, God has given you a measure of faith. Okay? It's just like you all have muscles. And the more you work those muscles, the stronger they get. The more you work your faith, the stronger it gets, the more it grows. If you never stand in faith, if you never flex your faith muscles, guess what? You're never going to grow. You're going to be stagnant. Yet God has given everybody the ability to have faith. Why? Because you can't even get born again without faith. Even unsaved people, God has given them a measure of faith so they can believe when the word is spoken to them. That's why I was sharing earlier, some of you guys, it may be a repetition, so I'm sorry. But, you know, that's why when we minister to people, we give them the word. Because it's the word that hits the target. It's the word that brings conviction in their life that they need Yeshua. But then they have the choice, don't they, whether to accept it or not. Even though it's bringing conviction every time. Believe me, the word hits its mark every single time. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, Yeshua, our example. Matthew 17:20, and Yeshua said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now what happened in the context of this? They were trying to cast out a demon, and they couldn't cast it out. You know, and Yeshua was saying is because of your lack of faith that you didn't really believe that that it was going to get cast out. But in this situation, he says this comes out but by prayer and fasting, but it'll still come out. But he says, again, I'm sure we've all heard of mustard seed faith. If you've been a believer very long, you've heard of mustard seed faith. So he says that mountain, okay, it's you know, again, an illustration he gives. That mountain is any obstacle that is in your way, that the enemy tries to put in your way to keep you from completing what God's called you to do. But what did Yeshua say? He says, if you have that, if you have enough faith, you can say, remove obstacle, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing is impossible with God. The only, we limit ourselves. Okay, God says, get up and go. We say, no, I can't. I can't do that. I can't talk well. I can't, you know, I can't write. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. And you talk yourself out of the blessing. When you take that step of faith, God gives you the ability to do what you need to do. Okay, this, again, this congregation was started by faith. My whole walk has been a walk of faith for 40 years. Your whole walk is a walk of faith. So you know what? You better get used to it. You better get used to the fact that you're going to have opportunities to flex your faith muscles. You're going to have opportunities to be discouraged by things in your life. But that's when you said, no, my hope is in the Lord. My trust is in Him. Let's go on. Mark 11:22-24. Yeshua answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and this is just another version, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says will come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. So again, the key there, it's like you shall not doubt in your heart. Okay, if you're doubting in your heart, it means that there's no faith in there. You got to build your faith muscles up. It says, you shall speak. Our words are powerful. The Bible says we're snared by the words of our mouth. And again, what's out of your heart is going to show what you are believing. You know, even though, I mean, I already see by faith the next place that God has for us. You know, I already see, again, us fulfilling everything He's called us to do. It doesn't matter the situations that are going on. You know, if we yield ourselves to Him, His will come to pass. Also, it says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you shall have them. Is this talking about selfish desires? No. If you are a believer, your desires are God's desires. Okay? It's not, well, I desire, you know, I want, you know, a Corvette. I really desire a Corvette. You know, again, that's where the Word of Faith movement got off. I mean, they had some good basic, you know, understanding of what faith was. But then, like any move of God, what happens is it gets, you know, people come in and it goes into all different areas. So people are starting to claim million-dollar homes and, you know, all kinds of goofy things. And it's like, that's not what it's saying. Again, in context, it's talking about the kingdom of God. Whatever you desire to do for the kingdom of God, if you believe in your heart, it'll come to pass. It's not for selfish motives. But yes, if you are obedient to Him, He will bless you. You know, I mean, we were just sharing in class how God, you know, sometimes, you know, just a little desire in our heart. It wasn't anything we were just, you know, working up for. And poof, God gives it to us just to bless us and say, see, I even know the little things. I'm aware of the little things that you have need of. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith. 2 Corinthians, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So again, God will reward, but what? We have to diligently seek Him. We have to diligently seek His will. And when we know His will, He is there to, again, lead us every step of the way and to see that His will is fulfilled. You know, I mean, Ruth's been with us for 12 years. I shared, you know, our history on our anniversary, how, you know, we've gone from place to place. We've seen people come. We've seen people go. You know, but again, we still keep on going. We still keep on being faithful to what God's called us to do. You don't give up. You run the race to win. Every single one of you has a race to win. Every single one of you has a purpose. You know, just your purpose may be to smile and say, God bless you to somebody.
Which might make their whole day.
You know, right. I mean, your purpose may be your job. You know, whatever we do, you know, for His glory. So don't feel like, oh, well, you know, I'm not, you know, speaking to lots of people, you know, and it's like, who cares? Number one, God created us to serve Him
right.
And to minister to Him and to love Him. That's our number one priority.
And as you serve him, his plans and purposes will come to pass. Again, that's what a community is all about. It's about working together, your gifts working together for the best of the betterment of the community. Okay, when one gift is, when people aren't coming in and they're not using their gifts for the best, for the betterment of the community, then we hurt. Because God does not give all the gifts to one person. He's too smart for that. Their head would blow up like this. I mean, we have to guard against pride all the time.
I don't.
1 Peter 1:7-9. Well, you just proved you did. That the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perish. That again, the trial of your faith. We are going to have trials of our faith. You're never going to grow in faith unless you see, again, if everything is going fine, you know, I mean, you have, you know, all the money, you got everything you need, you never have to believe God. How is your faith going to grow? God allows certain things to come across our path so that we continually keep our trust in Him so that we see that He is working on our behalf. And He is faithful. I can look back at 40 years and I can just see how many times God has miraculously done things. So I say, write it down. When God does something for you, write it down, a book of remembrance. You know, God is a book of remembrance. He's listening to every word that comes out of our mouth. It talks about it, and I can't remember exactly where the scriptures was, but it talks about that the Israelites were talking one to another, and they were...
complaining.
No, in this situation, it was a good thing. They were, you know, blessing the Lord and their faith in the Lord, and He says He wrote a book of remembrance. You know, of their words and what they were saying. The same thing, too. Yeah, He hears our grumbling and complaining as well. And that does not please God. Because that shows you've got two options. To believe God or believe HaSatan.
Yep.
Those are your options. If you're not believing God, then guess who you're believing? You're believing the lies of the enemy. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. God gave Adam and Eve a command to be fruitful, to multiply, to take care of the garden, and to not, and the first commandment, do not touch that tree. One little commandment. And what does the enemy come by? Did God really say, you know, He's trying to keep something from you. You know, did He really say that? Again, so what did they do? Instead of believing God, forgetting that God gave them all this abundance, and the enemy had to focus on this one thing that God said they couldn't have. And what do? They listen to the lie of the enemy. And because of that, we all inherited that sin. But through Yeshua, we inherit through Him, through faith, His righteousness and what He did for us. God's fair. What a fair exchange, even though we didn't deserve it.
No.
And again, His mode of operation is never the same. How many has ever had the enemy whisper in your ear? He whispers everything that is opposite the Word of God.
Yeah.
And I like what one preacher said. He says, you know, whenever the devil whispers in my ear and tells me that I can't do this and I can't do that and you're going to fail, he goes, thank you, devil. You know what? You're a liar, so I know just the opposite's the truth. He's always going to try to take you away from the Word of God. He's going to try to take you away from the vision and the call He's had on your has on your life. Look at Abraham. He told Abraham, who's, again, he was a man of faith. He knew God's Torah because God said that He knew that Abraham would teach His children and His children's children, His Torahs, plural. Even in the midst of a pagan society, God knew the one God of Abraham, because that knowledge was still passed through Adam, even though through all the sin and all the garbage going on, God still had a righteous remnant, and His name was still known in the earth. They said, okay, Abraham is called the father of our faith. Okay? He says, get up and go. Lech lecha. Get up and go. Leave everything you know. Leave everything, all your comfort and everything, because I've got something better for you. It took faith, didn't it? To get up and go and not know where the heck he was going. They'd be like saying, you know, Tony, pack your bags. You know, I got a place for you. I'm not going to just pack your bags and go. And as you're going, I will show you. That's what faith is. So Abraham did. And because of that, thousands of people have been blessed. Because of Abraham's faith, and because God cut a covenant with Abraham, because He saw a man that He could trust who would not deny Him and would teach the truth. 1 John 5:4, but whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Why? Because Yeshua overcame the world, and He rose from the dead, and so we can be overcomers. Why? Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. God is faithful. You know, that's been the words out of my mouth for the past few weeks. God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful. You are faithful. You are always faithful. And I look back, and I was just looking back and just at things again. I've been writing stuff down since I first got saved over 40 years ago. And I just look back and I just see his faithfulness. And yes, the trials, but God's always faithful. Why? Because he wants us to be great men and women of faith.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, there's things going on in the world, and it's, you know what, but it's like, but Yeshua says, fear not. When you see these things coming about, don't fear. Rejoice, for your redemption draws nigh. The worse it gets, the closer our redemption is. So what are we supposed to do? Cowered in fear? No, we are to keep on doing what God's called us to do, to preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, get people set free, teach them the word, and just keep on keeping on until either he comes back or our time is over on earth. And I want to use every time that I have, every moment I have, to serve him. So you are an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. We are overcomers.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is in you. God is in you. God's spirit is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I mean, if you, again, believe me, the trials we go through are nothing with what the early believers went through. Nobody's ready to feed you to the lions yet. Nobody's burning you at the stake yet. But we complain because, you know, somebody hurts our feelings, and or, you know, we don't get our own way, or we get, you know, offended, or somebody, you know, calls us, you know, a name because we believe in God. It's like, oh, woe is me. It's like, you don't know nothing. You know, and I used to wonder, you know, Father, am I going to be strong if I ever had to face that, you know, face death in the faith, you know, in the faith. Yeah, face
yeah,
death
yeah.
in faith.
Well, yeah, you would be in the faith, right?
But God will give you what you need when you need it. You know, I believe he gives us a supernatural courage to go through whatever we need to go through. Matthew 9:20 is talking about the woman with an issue of blood. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I will be whole. But Yeshua turned about and he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole that hour. You know, Malachi talks about that, about Messiah coming with healing in his wings. Wings is referring to the tzitzit on the garment. And when she was taking hold of the promises because she knew when Messiah would come that there would be healing in him. And even though because she has an issue of blood, she shouldn't have been out in public, because she was to be sequestered and kept out because she was considered unclean. But she had so much faith and determination that she was going to receive healing that day, that Yeshua actually felt the healing power go out from him and turned, and again, she received her healing right then and there.
Right. And she had spent all the money that she had on doctors, and none of them could heal her, but her faith healed her. Because she knew if she just touched the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole.
No.
And she was.
Matthew 9:28-29. And when he came into the house, the blind man came to him. And Yeshua said unto him, believe you that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Do we believe that God is able to do everything we need for him to do? To help pay our bills? To heal our bodies? You know, again, it doesn't mean it's, you know, God's in a microwave, or you stick your prayer in the microwave and in 30 seconds, it's done. No. You may, how are you willing to stand? Sometimes you may not have to stand a long time, but sometimes you may have to stand a couple years. Are you willing to stand and still believe God through all of it? Why? And you just, Father, I thank you that your word is true. For the stripes of Yeshua, I am healed. Father, you yourself took your infirmities upon your body, Father, on the cross, Father. Father, I thank you that Yeshua went about healing all that were sick, delivering of demons. If it was his will back then, don't you think it's his will now?
Yes.
Of course it is. People need to see the power of God, that God is real. Sometimes even in God's mercy, he'll heal somebody that's not even saved.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show them his mercy and his love for them. God loves people. And I'm asking God to give, you know, to give us, to help us, you know, to have a greater capacity, a greater love, and greater faith. You know, I read, you know, some of the stories of people that went before me, and I say, Father, I still have, you know, a long way to go in my to get to that, you know, that level of faith, but I want to. Because Yeshua said greater works we would do. because he was going to go to the Father. But we don't do greater works. Why? Because we don't believe. When we lay hands on people, we don't think they're going to be healed. Well, I hope this works. You know, when we cast out demons, we're not, well, you know, I hope he leaves you.
Well, I don't think he can.
James 5:14-15 says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the kahila, the congregation. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What? The prayer of faith.
We're the elders.
You know, and again, it's like, I don't want somebody praying for me if they're not praying in faith.
Right.
You know, you want somebody praying for you who's believing God for that you're healed, not like, well, I hope this works, you know, good luck. It's like, no, when we pray for people, we pray expecting God to move. Mm-hmm. But you have to do your part too. You have to believe God too. Again, a prayer of agreement. Yes, I agree. We agree together that God's word is true.
Yes.
And again, healing is a process, okay? A miracle happens instantaneously. But healing is a process. So when somebody, when we're laying hands on you, or somebody lays hands on you to be healed, believe me, that process is going on in your body. And again, it's faith. No, and Father, thank you that you are at work in my body. And it's any area of our life. I'm going to go forward here. Again, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You've got to see through the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith see what the physical eyes don't see. The ears of faith hear what the physical ears don't hear. Every single one of us have the capability. I asked this in the classes. How many have ever heard God talk to you? Never heard? Raise your hand. Yes, he speaks to us. You know, he speaks to us through the word. He speaks to us in our spirit. We need to learn to hear God's voice.
And they say that he has a soft, quiet voice.
Right.
When I hear him, he's not yelling at me, because then I know it's Satan. I know it, because that's just his personality. But when God talks to me, I know his voice too. It's just like when he says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And another they won't follow. In other words, Hasatan won't, you won't follow. But it's amazing. His voice is quiet. And he says, this is what I want you to do.
And you know, it's like,
and
it's
you
a
know
knowing.
It's him.
And we all have, because you know, we're all different, you know, but God, you know, it's like it's here. Your spirit
right.
here.
Right.
Okay, you'll hear. It's just like a knowing. And the more you're in the Word, the more you're in prayer, the more you'll hear his voice. We need to hear his voice.
Amen.
We need his direction. We need his guidance. You know, it's like Moses says, unless you go with us, I ain't going. I ain't making one move. Unless you go before us, I'm not making one move. You know, unless you're, you know, and they say, you know, Father, unless you open the door, we're not making a move. We're just going to wait on you.
Yeah.
For it is by men of old that gained approval. By faith you understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. God spoke and it was created. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Where did I put the recorder? Someone look at that here. Let's see what time I'm at. Okay. James or Yaakov 2. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it is not works, is dead, being by itself. So again, faith is an action. If you have faith, action follows. Again, Abraham had faith. Why? He got up and went. He just didn't. If he sat there in his house and said, yes, Father, I hear your voice. I believe you're God. But he didn't go anywhere. Again, faith is an action. If you believe God, you act on it. But someone, we may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Again, when he offered up Isaac, he fully expected that Isaac was dead. But he also knew that God could raise him from the dead too, because he already had plans for coming back down with him. But God stopped him, didn't he? Because God wanted to see if Abraham was going to be a covenant keeper. And because, again, Abraham, and this is more like a midrash, but because Abraham was willing to give his son, his only son, Yahweh gave his son, his only son, on the very hill that Yeshua would be crucified and die. You see, that faith was working with his works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. And so the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Again, you didn't get saved until when? You put action to your faith. You had to do something. If you just say,
yeah,
those are nice words.
Yeah, I believe it.
But so conviction came and repentance came, and you confessed that, yes, that you were a sinner, that you needed to be redeemed, that you put your faith in the finished work of Yeshua, the little bit that you knew, you acted on that little bit of faith you knew, you were changed, weren't you? Your spirit, your heart was changed. And as you grow, the more your faith is going to grow, the stronger your faith is going to grow. You know, I hope that I'm stronger in faith now than I was when I first got saved. If I'm not, then something's wrong, And I still have more to go. I mean, we're never, until we're with Yeshua, we are growing. And our faith, what we're learning here, is affecting what we're going to be doing for all eternity as well. Okay? This is training for us. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Psalm 5:11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them. That those who love your name may exalt in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Again, when you're down, this is what you should be speaking this word. Speaking this word about you. When I'm sick, I start putting on worship music and I start worshiping him, and guess what? Healing comes from that worship. When I'm starting to get down, I start praying. If I'm lacking love, guess what? I start saying what the scriptures say about love, how I need to. If I'm lacking in faith, I start saying what the scriptures say about faith. Again, if I need joy, I start saying what the scriptures say about joy, because that word is alive. It's not just printing on a page. It says God's word is alive and full of power, and as we speak it, it is changing our lives. Psalm 3, this is one of my favorite psalms. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. We have to cultivate being faithful. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, and that's a two-way street, too. You know, Ruth was just sharing how she just had a little need of a certain makeup she wanted, and here God turned around and somebody gave her exactly what she just wanted. Went in her heart she wanted to get. I mean, that's how just God says, hey, I care. But also, when we delight in him, his desires become our desires. That's how you know what God's called you to do, because you desire to do that thing that he's called you to do when you delight in him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. You know, commit means, okay, Father, I commit it to you. It doesn't mean you take it back. I commit this situation to you. And that's the hardest part, because we commit something, and then we want to take it back. Well, I commit, but, no, faith is, I commit it to you, Father. I trust you, and you will do whatever you need to do. Your perfect will be done. Psalm 115:10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great.
Psalm 118:8-9, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Believe me, you put your trust in men and they will disappoint you every time. Our trust is to be in God, because God will never leave us or forsake us, and he will never disappoint us. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses or trust in those in high authority. Our trust is in the Lord, no matter who's in authority, no matter who's in control. Our trust is in him, because we know God's already mapped out what's going to happen. And guess what? We win. Hallelujah. If we believe what he says, why do we fear then? You know what? Because Yeshua says, when you see these, Matthew 24, says, you know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be all kinds of, you know, stuff going on. He says, but fear not. He says, when you see these things happen, rejoice, because your redemption draws nigh. Because it's not a time to fear, it's a time to rejoice and just keep busy for his kingdom. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. How many times when things happen in our lives, we try to figure it out in our head? Well, I don't understand. Why is this going on? When we just say, Father, I trust you. I don't understand, but you know what? You have control of my life. You know exactly what needs to be done in my life. You've got my path all laid out, and you know that I just trust you. I don't try to figure things out in my head. Because if you try to do it in your head, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Okay. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Thank you, Father, that my path is straight. Doesn't matter, you know, I don't lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways, Father, I acknowledge you, because you direct my path. And I will complete that race, and I will complete that path that you have called me to do. Isaiah 26:3-4, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. You want perfect peace? Trust in him. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Again, Isaiah was, if you know the history of Isaiah, Isaiah's grandson was one of the kings of Israel. I can't remember his name offhand right now. But his own grandson had Isaiah killed, sawed in half. Nice grandson, huh? But this man was faithful to call. He was faithful. The prophets of God were faithful to speak what God told them to speak. They were faithful to do what God called them to do. And that's our job. Are we perfect? No. But we strive to be perfect. We strive to, every single one of us have issues in our life. Every single one of us, you know, are a work in progress. We're not perfect yet. We'll be perfect when Yeshua comes back and gives us our new resurrected body. Hallelujah. No more aches, no more pains, no more overweight. Hallelujah. Perfect eyesight, perfect hearing. But we just remain faithful to him. Again, you need to take these scriptures and meditate on them. Get them in your heart. And know that, again, you aren't going through any test or trial that isn't common to man, the Bible says. And God will not let us be tested beyond what we can endure. But he will make a way of escape. And we believe that God is making a way where there seems to be no way. We have peace. You know, we have peace in the storm. It's like, you know what, Father, I trust you. It's just, you know, he told us back in August that the cloud was starting to move. I knew changes were coming, but a lot of times we don't like changes. Yeah. You know, we kind of like everything just resist, to be, right. You know, we resist that change. But you know what? We have to be flexible to walk with God. Yep. You know, not your will, not my will, but your will be done, Father. Because a lot of times our will is selfish. It's what's, you know, comfortable for us. You know, but his will is, you know, Father, I submit to your will. And even if it's a little inconvenience for me, I submit to you, because you have the best for me. Again, I could look back at my years and I see God is so faithful. Even at times deliver me when I really didn't feel like I deserve to be delivered, because of some dumb mistakes I made, you know, dumb decisions I had made. But God, because his mercy, delivered me from those decisions. And every single one of us have this testimony. There's not one person in this room. There's not one person who has ever been born again that can't say that God has not blessed them or done something for them. Mm-hmm. And God says he will never. The thing is that people, when they go through tests and trials, they end up walking away from God. God doesn't walk away from them. That's why we need one another, to encourage one another. Because God never says, like, you know, it's, when one is down, there's always another one up. The same in marriage. You know, God never has us all down at the same time. You know, there's always somebody there who can come and encourage you. It's like, you're going to make it. That's okay. We're victorious in you. Hallelujah.